unable to attend, and Tom made it, he called, but he's here. So I think that's about it. I do want to give a little background before we get started tonight as to why we're all here. At the previous commission meeting, staff had recommended against a opening of the crab dredge season for 2015 and 16. The basis for that is goes back to 2013. In 2013, staff and VIMS recommended an opening of the crab dredge season. This followed a study that was put in place in 2012 and 13 by then Commissioner Travelstead. The study was completed. The commission was presented with the results of that study. You should know a little bit about how that study went since most of you are here, but for those who weren't, it came down to hard substrate sand greater than 60% or mud less than 40% sand. And there was an area which Joe Grist will show you as we go along that was mapped out for a dredge area. Joe will also have information, just so you know, from 2013, staff had a regulation ready to go. It was to involve up to 49 of the original 53 ghost pot collection and marine debris collection individuals. There were a lot of requirements. There was 1.5 million pounds of crabs that would have been designed for the crab dredge fishery at that October 23rd, 2013 meeting. There were all sorts of safeguards because the commission essentially had to see that. The short story is the commission voted unanimously against the staff proposal. Industry was split. Industry leaders were split as to whether or not that season should be open. And since that time, you know, some things have changed. What's changed is the triggers at the 2013 meeting were endorsed by the commission for staff to take forward what was preliminary to what's known as CDSAC. It's the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee. It's NOAA, Maryland. It's NIMS in the south. It's NIMS in the north. It's VMRC. It's PRFC. All involved in this review committee, a scientific committee for the most part, because most of the managers have a science background. That was done, and the commission also asked that the what's known as the goal implementation team, this is composed essentially of directors of the jurisdictions plus NGOs, which are part of the process, plus DC fisheries, PRFC, VMRC, Maryland DNR. It's the stopping point, the end point for any type of information that flows in the bay. And because of that, and there's also a lot of representatives who are from recreational and also from commercial, just to let you know that. I saw Tom's pen go up and I read his mind. So that was endorsed. So in 2013, we didn't have the triggers essentially. The commission said, you're going to have these triggers to reopen the crab dredge fishery season. The triggers now were presented to the commission this year, and the crab dredge fishery season is hinging on those triggers. The triggers weren't met in both cases. The juvenile trigger was met. I think that's the 263 million juvenile crabs, and the trigger is the trigger, and there were actually 269 million. Joe may have to remind me here, but on the spawning age females, we had 101 million, and the trigger was 124. 124, 129 million. So the second trigger wasn't met. That's the basis for the staff recommendation not to reopen the season. The commission listened to information, and the commission finally decided that, well, we have some time. We could come back in September, for example. Let's let CMAQ discuss this issue. And I think that's why we're here tonight, to discuss that issue. Joe will present some information which is only related to what we had in 2013 when we were asking the commission to reopen a season. So if there are any questions, that's fine, but that's pretty much the background of where we stand.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And in reference to the agenda, we are
considering... Yes, I'm sorry, my apologies.
Well,
so, Joe and I put this together, and E is compensation. And compensation means that, thank you for reminding me of that, in 2013, when the recommendation was to reopen the crab dredge season, there was compensation built in. I know that might be something that not everyone thinks should be there, but that's what was built in. It was built in for both the extension, possible extension of the crab pot season to December 15th. It was also built in for the 1.5 million pounds for the crab dredge fishery season. And it turned out there was just the season extension, and that was compensation. I think it was 250,000 pounds was what was built in. That wasn't quite reached, but had the crab dredge season been approved, the compensation was there. So as then, the abundance is at a state where we have not had solid abundance, especially for the spawning age females, since 2011. Periods of low abundance are what is driving the compensation. And certainly that's something we want your viewpoint on, but that should really be the first thing to talk about, because that will determine the discussion on the opening of the season, what's required, and everything else that's involved there. So I hope that is in keeping with what you had in mind.
Perfect.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right, moving on. Approval of the minutes from the May 18th, 2015 meeting. Does anyone have any changes or questions as to the minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. So we'll move forward to item E on the agenda, compensation.
Okay. I feel like I'm back in 2013 again. So we are basically going to present to you, as Rob said, a lot of the same information we had in 2013 as far as the setup of how this would work. However, the compensation will look a little different because we've been working with the industry the last 2 years on bushel limits and coming up with what is a good set of range of bushel limits. So we're using the more the good exceptional standard for this range as well, trying to stay with where we are now and work with that and not reinvent the wheel anymore. So from that, we'll start with the compensation. When we talked about this in 2013, we were talking about a 1 million pound allowable landings, and then we were talking about 1.5 million pound allowable landings. So two slides are going to look very similar, but they do deal with the different ones. So the first one is, and we have at the top of each slide, the current bushel limits, where they are now, and what their time periods are. So you know right now, the crab pot licenses for the hard crab, July 5th to November 15th. We have a range of bushel limits. We drop down at the end of the last 2 weeks of November, and in the last 2 weeks of March when the season starts back up. And then we return to the same bushel limits we have currently in from April 1 through July 4th. This is how this was in place last year, and this is how so far we're set up for this upcoming season, starting this July 5th, carrying through July 4th of next year. If you want to have a 1,000-pound fishery for the winter dredge this winter and compensate this through the crab pot fishery, Most of this we were able to do through adjusting the time periods of the bushel limits instead of having to drop the bushel limits any lower. Here's one example that does change the bushel limits a bit. But most of this we did through time periods. So on the first one, this option A1, instead of our current bushel limits ranging from 10 bushels for the 85 pots up to 47 bushels for the 425, instead of that extending till November 15th, it would run to October 15th. Then the lower bushel limit series would kick in on October 16th through the end of the year. In the spring, the lower bushel limits would extend all the way through April, and then May 1, it would pick up to where we are now, the 10 through 47 range. Another way of doing it is maintaining the current bushel limits as they are now through November 15th. And then, of course, 16th through 30th would be the same as we have now. And you take more of the cut during the spring. So instead of going to April 30th, you run it all the way to May 15th on the lower bushel limits. Then you bring them back up on May 16th. So that's on the 1 million pound option. For 1.5 million, again, we tried to stick with the seasons as much as we could. So this would be maintaining where we are through November 15th, the lower bushel limits at the end of this year as they would be, and then basically the lower bushel limits would stay in place all the way to July 4th of next year. The other one is where we did change the bushel limits a little bit in the spring. We'd go with current bushel limits September 30th, the lower version starting October 1st through May 15th of next year, and they would come up only not all the way back up May 16th through July 4th of next year. So those are the options we've been able to put together for this, trying to get the 1 million and the 1.5 back for our conservation value. Some of the other things you'll remember we talked about, the limited entry, Rob's mentioned getting us back up to at least 49 of the 53. So the same criteria presented on October 22nd of 2013 to the commission is still in here. All we did is change the dates for what the season would be. So we're talking about a 15-16 season, but it's the same criteria, dealing with the same individuals. We still have in here including those who participated in the dredge mortality project. Obviously, you got to be eligible for CFRL now. So we're using the same criteria. That hasn't changed. I mean, that was an endorsement from the commission that we had good criteria then for the future. We're sticking with it. Why have to redo this? Licensee requirements, same thing. You're going to have to allow an observer. You're going to have to maintain the licensee's commission provided identification number on the cabin of the roof, with those being at least 12-inch high letters. You're going to have to be on board the vessel. That means you're not using an agent. Only one crab dredge licensee shall be on board. We're not doubling up trips. You're going to call in. So you're going to call in to start, and you're going to call at the end. And you're going to provide us a bushel count on a daily count so we can keep track of this as it goes along. To possess any species other than blue crab, smooth whelk or knob whelk, you're not going to be able to have anything else unless we provide it. And seven, it's about horseshoe crabs. Horseshoe crabs is those who actually have the license for horseshoe crabs. We'll be able to keep the horseshoe crabs. Again, no agents, and the license would not be transferable. The harvest area, you'll remember, we worked with this. This was also endorsed by VIMS at the time. Was an area here in the bay. Off the Wicomico, ran out toward Tangier, down all the way to York Spit. Now, this was an area that did have both sand and mud. It is more primarily a mud area, but this is the area that was endorsed by the commission back in October of 2013, and it was the one that staff and VIMS brought forward. Just a different legend for percent sand from a different source, but it's similar to the VIMS results. Dredge season, we're still looking at December 16th through February 28th. Keeping it between sun, no dredging between sunset and sunrise. You're going to have to be back at the dock and offloaded within 3 hours of sunset. And unlawful to use a crab dredge on Saturday or on Sunday. Dredge gear limitations, maximum of 2 dredges, shall be allowed for any of the vessels legally licensed. Max width of a single dredge will be 8 feet, and maximum length of any teeth on the dredge shall be 6 inches. And finally, your harvest limitations. This was based on 1.5 million at the time. Again, that'll be part of your discussion tonight. So looked at that time using the 1.5 as an allocation about 1,000 bushels per harvester. It's unlawful for any person licensed in this fishery to fail to tag each bushel. And it's the responsibility of the licensee to pay for the bushel tags when they're supplied by the commission. And all the tags that has to be accounted for, which means you don't use all your tags, you turn in those that are unused, you don't toss them. That's the criteria we had back in 2013. And that's really all we have for you. This is what was endorsed.
Any questions?
I have a minor comment. You earlier, somewhere in there, you said something about only one crab dredger per vessel. I really think it should read only one. You can only use one license. Two people can be.
Okay, crab dredge license is written.
So you can have two people. No, the way, if you say licensee, if you have a license and you have a license, then there are two licensees on the boat. You can only have one, you, only one license is valid for that day, or some wording like that.
I mean, one guy can just be working for the other guy.
That's right. But if the law says only one licensee is allowed on the vessel, if two are on the vessel, they are breaking the law. So you have to write the law to do what you intend.
That's fine, Tom. We can make that adjustment.
Okay. And it may actually say that in a law.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I've got a comment.
Mr. Cox.
Two things. One, those crab dredgers got some birthdays on them. And I don't like the idea of not ever being able to transfer your license. Once you die, that's the end of it. You can't transfer it to your son. That sounds awful unfair. Somebody's dredged 30, 40 years, and then he dies. That's the end of it. So I think the average age, I think it's 55 the last time I heard.
So
50, yeah.
60, something.
Yeah, so in a few years, won't be nobody left based on that, that you can never transfer it. That's the most important thing. That's wrong.
So
not be able to pass something down to your son. That's wrong.
Yes,
I believe that what you're looking for is not so much this first. I understand what you're saying, and I think the real question you need to be asking, and it's of the commission or of the industry, is where do you want this fishery to head in the long term?
Well, based on that,
long
term,
that's right.
Over with.
That's right, and yeah. that kind of indicates a model that says
if
people
years.
Age out.
If you do that, 15 years from now, I'll be dead. My license will be gone forever. That's wrong.
That's one model for how you would manage this fishery.
There
you
is
would
no
manage it. That's right. You would manage this fishery to effectively die off eventually. Another model for the fishery would be to say you can have N license holders, just like they do for pound nets now. And when you get down to that N, you'll start allowing transfers or some lottery or something like that. But that's a conscious decision I think the commission needs to make, and we can provide them input towards that.
Well, my take on that is I don't have boys. I have a nephew. I have two girls. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter the first year whether it's going to be 35, 40, or 10. I mean, you should have the option of a one-time deal, either sell it or transfer it, period. There's not going to be opt-in, more in or more out.
It'll always stay the same
number.
Well, and
unless
that's,
you die
and
off, you don't get transferred.
Well, if you
yeah.
die off,
right.
then, you know, your wife can either get it and transfer it to somebody else.
It should be that way.
Because
it's not right. Disappear.
I'm
just 30 years, they'll disappear.
I'm just speaking on my intro. I got $30,000 worth of gear.
Well, once I die, my wife can't sell it. It's no good to nobody.
Yeah, let's, I'll tell you what, let's stay on track and when we get to that.
We're on track. You asked us if we had any comments.
Right. I'm sorry.
That's wrong.
But we'll discuss it further when we get to that section on the agenda.
Okay.
Mr. O'Reilly.
Well, just the initial discussions about that that took place about non-transferability were because there was so much variability from industry about just how many entries there might be. You know, 25, 35, we requested there were 49. So I think what you'll find as you go forward is when the season opens, you should look at that as initially no transfers will be allowed, which is typical to other fisheries the way they started as well. The transferability came in after the fact because the commission wants to know initially what is the dedication here, what is the number of personnel. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that.
Thank you.
But it should be done quickly because I don't think they're guaranteed tomorrow.
Right. Nobody's
guaranteed right. Tomorrow.
But. Mr. Millis.
Thank you, Lynn. I just got a real brief presentation. I gave most of y'all on CMAC. I'm going to give staff a copy and whoever else wants it. But I really want to appeal to CMAC. Y'all know I've been an advocate for reopening the dredge fishery for a while. You've heard plenty from me, and I apologize for that. But I'd like to ask everyone to consider innovative ways to open the historic fishery that was 108 years old when it was closed. And I think we need to look at the business aspects of the crab fishery when giving consideration to this matter. It could benefit the return to the state and overall income of the crab fishery. The price last week was $20 per bushel for cushions and $30 a bushel for clean females. The winter market could pay $70 to $90 per bushel for females. This has kind of been proven. I think when we did a pilot a few years ago, they saw numbers like that. And it's my report from buyers, and some of them were supposed to be here, but they're not here yet, that that's still true. So the winter market could pay $70 to $90 per bushel based on a 25-boat fleet at 900 bushels, and this is just a theory. It's no numbers suggestion from me. I actually believe the fishery could be reopened on less than 1 million pounds. But if you take a 25-boat fleet at 900 bushels per boat, it would take 22,500 bushels to activate the fishery. The lowest price spread from current summer prices and estimated winter returns would be somewhere around $900,000. That's taking the $70 estimate for winter crabs and the high end of $30 for summer. There's a $900,000 difference in the payout on those 22,500 bushels. If you take the low end, the $20 for busted sooks, and the high end, the $90, there's a $1,575,000 difference in dockside ex-vessel price of 22,500 bushels of crab. So among with returning more value and economic benefit, it'd create a market presence of Virginia caught crabs year-round. And then I've got reference summer winter price analysis. That's my back sheet showing my first grade math. But that math is probably could be pretty close to being true. The winter markets have been supplied by crabs from other areas taking advantage of high winter prices. It's important for Virginia to have a year-round presence in the marketplace, and it has the potential to affect early run crab pot landings returning a larger price for those crabs possibly offsetting the loss of the proposed 22,500 bushels to the dredge harvest method from the potters. If they had some reduced effort later on, they could actually get more money for that spring run of crabs early in their season to where economically they could miss those 22,000 bushels, get paid the same amount of money they've been getting. And so I think it's something we really look at the economics of this. The crab dredge boats would certainly remove displaced effort in the oyster harvest, helping remove effort from oysters, which is yet to be a rebuilt fishery. With the recent estimates of winter crab kill, it's obvious that the dredge fleet would catch some of these crabs, which otherwise are wasted with no return or benefit to the state. The increased value of the winter harvest compared to landings in the spring or summer is undeniable. This, combined with removing effort from the oystering and having a year-round market presence, has enough merit economically to benefit the state by allowing a very limited dredge fishery with its own annual TAC, or total allowable catch. It makes perfect business sense, and it could help economics in other fisheries. The crab dredgers have sacrificed seven seasons, contributing 100% of their effort to the stock rebuilding bank. Let's be fair and spend some time and effort to find a conservation equivalency to open the fishery not involving stock triggers. You know, my take on stock triggers is if there's not a more aggressive stock rebuilding plan than what I see today, they're not going to happen. And if they happened, after 3 years of miracles, we'd be 4 years from now before we could open the crab dredge fishery. That's 11-year closure. So I'm just looking at the fairness of this overall to all the people involved. I just think it's too little, too late, too long to wait for stock triggers. And that's why I'm really pushing for looking at equivalencies really hard. I'd like to suggest that we all know it has to come from potting. I would suggest that the first, and this is just a suggestion, and I already see a different idea from staff, which I think is great. And I'd like to suggest that first or last week of potting could produce 22,000 bushel of crabs by harvest. And we could delay the opening or have an early closure of potting using the appropriate amount of time to equal the 22,500 bushels. And it would be a fair and wise way to find the bushels needed to fund the dredge fishery. It's just another way if what staff just presented is not palatable to everybody. I suggest we talk about finding and trying to agree on this before we spend time on the mechanics of the fishery operations. It's a complete waste of our time to talk about license not being transferred, who's in it, who's out, and that work's already been done and approved conceptually. So I just want to remind y'all, and I agree, Marshall, but I think if we could find a conservation equivalency and we could open the fishery, then we could come back to CMAQ and say, let's tune these three items within the crab dredging now that we see it operating, and it looks like it may be okay. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to see y'all get too balled up in worrying about the mechanics of a fishery that doesn't have a way to open yet. If we find a green light to open it, then we make a list of priorities of the mechanics of how that fishery operates, and we can revisit those issues one at a time. So there's been a pilot with the mechanics involved in operating the fishery agreed on for several years ago and conceptually supported by VMRC staff, VIMS, and the industry. That's the very pilot that Joe just put up here. And please take time to work towards opening the fishery. In all fairness, the ex-crab dredgers have paid dearly towards stock rebuilding and deserve to go back to work in a limited, well-managed fishery with prime economic return. The catch with a total allowable catch attack annually, and I suggest a total allowable daily catch to retain the economic value during the season. It's very important. And I know the season has started, so the only equivalency would have to be in the fall. So if we plan not this season, but in 2016, 2017, at least a small sector of crabbers interested can have time to plan their activity, and we could execute a well-planned fishery with the economic marketplace and fishery benefits for the state of Virginia. And that's kind of my take on it, and I really would appreciate it if CMAQ would really focus on that conservation equivalency and see if we can't work hard together as a group to open a very limited, well-managed crab dredge fishery in the future. Thank you, Sarah, so much.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions or comments?
Yes.
Mr.
Smith? Oh. The crab pot fishery ended up catching with the dredge fishery. Is that correct?
Yes. The amount of crabs shifted, they were available for the crab pot fishery. But as I explained previously, it isn't necessarily more effort, but more crabs for harvest is also there as well.
those crayons went to the pot fishery that were being caught.
We had some sharks, Joe put them together initially a couple of years ago, and it was by April where you could see the jump on the crab pot.
Yeah. Also, if the anyway staff could go back and do the math to figure out, I mean, some type of a projection of the crayons that would have the winter keel that might be caught in the dredging will reopen.
Joe's a little closer to that. I understand Maryland had more.
Yeah, and the thing about the winter keel is the winter keel, like it happened this past season, the majority of the winter keel that was adult occurred in Maryland water. Virginia's winter keel was primarily juvenile. So for the ones that are, you know, I can understand the concept, thinking, well, those are crabs we could have caught. The problem is those were in Maryland waters where you're not going to be. There's primarily a juvenile kill in our waters, primarily an adult kill in Maryland waters.
Well, Maryland crabs can probably were male crabs that we killed in that female crab.
You've got females up there as well, quite a bit. And they do sex them, so they break it out even before it's available.
Those are crabs flying right now in the fall in Virginia.
Yeah. There are still female crabs in Maryland in the winter time. They're not all male, I think.
How many know that?
The winter dredge survey, they check it, they see the crabs and they come up.
40% are female. What you say in the winter?
I mean, you're talking just in general? That's so variable from year to year.
I mean, just...
I'm not going to even have a guess. I don't have it in front of me.
I mean, I would think it would be pretty gross.
They're small crops, you know. Mm-hmm. So, they're there. And I mean, we're close to the Virginia line. It all depends on how the migration goes, temperature-wise. So, I think it was 2011 where that February snap hit fast. And that was the source of pretty good mortality in 2011. It's different. This wasn't the highest mortality. There has been few events of even higher mortality in that 25-year series. And at first, I think one thing I saw was at first the press picked up on the high mortality, but then we asked, well, could you partition it to juveniles and to adults and to Maryland and Virginia? And then the statistics change a little bit. You know, there's still a decent amount of mortality, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I know over the years, and Marshall can probably tell you the same thing. I dredged for a long time, dredged with my father. And Daddy could pretty much tell you when they will come at the bottom on a hard bottom or not. And usually the time when it did, when it got cold on northeastern, the snowstorm, she blowed. Majority of crabs, when they washed at the bottom, over there on that hard bottom, that was your winter kill.
It was so cold it couldn't get back to bottom.
So we're all sitting here looking at hard bottom where a lot of your mortality happens. You're going to have more mortality over there. It's just unseen. I hate to say it. You know, plain and simple. Plain and simple, we were put on the spotlight to start with. But at any given rate, I just wanted to pass that on the hard bottom.
Was there really that much hard bottom down Little Creek and stuff?
No, we just didn't
work there.
Okay. It was too much junk, too much grass. We didn't do a survey from the south side because we wanted to try to do a survey over there when you're making licks every 30 seconds and you can't find them crabs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, them didn't want to be there. We didn't want to be there. So the whole south side was, we just didn't go there. With all the junk, the grass.
I didn't know if my crab pot was filled with mud or if that was my imagination.
No, it's just everywhere where you see is where we did the survey, you know, where the mud bottom, you know, as far as where the survey was actually done, you know, where it was suitable to crab.
So when you say the survey, you're talking about the pilot, right?
No. Well, when we did the dredge survey,
the dredge survey.
I was one of the four boats. Everywhere. Well, he says it's good to dredge, but we never went on from south side of the channel
from there to Little Creek.
Little Creek.
Below Little Creek. You know, it's just, we couldn't do no surveys there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't, there's only four boats. You got, only got a limited time to try to find the site.
Right.
So we were just focusing on clean bottom, hard bottom, clean bottom. When you're working a lot of jumps, sometimes it takes a long time to try to find them, and once you're limited to how many times you can. So.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, it seems like a lot of bottom got gobbled up. That's definitely not a place where winter kill and stuff would happen, it looks like to me.
Well, everything over to the east, and Marshall will tell you, you know, that's where a lot of the winter kill happens.
Yeah.
So.
All right,
but,
let's get back to compensation. I'm sorry, Mr. Raleigh.
I have a question for Billy, and I follow your presentation, but towards the end, when you were talking about a tax, was that solely for the winter dredge fishery season?
I would say that if we could open crab dredging again, that it should have a tax, a well-defined bi-bushel amount, which in my suggestion was around 22,000, which would be less than 1 million pounds could fund that, and that would give 25 boats, which I've kind of gleaned the list, and I think you might be lucky to get 25 boats in it, would give them 900 bushels apiece. And I want to add this on the winter kill. Jimmy Dean, you know it, Marshall, all the winter kill, Tommy Lake knows it, Ty knows it, was east of the Cut Channel, between there and the beach, over the eastern shore, down to Kickapee, down to the ships, and to Plantation Life. If we were wanting to catch some of the crabs that we know will be killed, it's inevitable, it happens every year, sometimes worse than others. Like you said, Rob, the right thing to do would be open that hard bottom early in the year for those first maybe 2 weeks and watch the weather and have a little committee that tells you when to shut it and kick them back off the hard bottom. But we could actually go over there, catch those hard bottom crabs before they go in, and then get off the hard bottom later on when the winter kill occurs. When they come out, that's when our mortality goes up in harvest. Half of them in the bottom, half on the right. You can go over there and tear up a whole lot of crabs. So, but the right way to catch those crabs clean and then let nature take its course would be allow the fleet to work hard bottom for the first few weeks of the season, and then have these hard bottom areas enclosed. And then you might be able to catch some of those crabs, let them bury, and after that, they're on their own. Maybe they'll have, you know, a very low winter kill if we're lucky, or it could be high. But the main thing is, we would be on the hard bottom once they went in the bottom. And that's the truth. God so helped me, God. And I know it, you know, I mean, Marshall knows it better than I do, because the Tan German and Eastern Shore guys, they sail out of Cape Charles Harbor across those grinds every day.
Yeah, January, February is a bad time to dredge up. December's good. January, February, bottom part is up.
Joe, would you mind putting that first chart back up for the discussion on compensation? I really think we need to start here.
If they're 15 boats,
oh, the bushel limits, yeah, I'm sorry.
Come into the fishery.
Thank you.
Under Bill's suggestion of 22,000 bushels, would we cut those bushels back for those 15, where it would be 900 bushels? So we limited that, and if they ended up being 40, then you would just split that 22,000 bushels among the 40. But if it was less than 25, cap it at 900 bushels per dredger.
I think that's part of the next scenarios. I agree with what Billy said, that the first challenge is to tackle the conservation equivalency or the compensation. But even in 2013, Ken, I know that you at one point said even 1 million pounds, we could have something going with 1 million pounds. So I would assume that a season would be dependent on how many were actually in the fishery initially, and then you would
Mr. Farrington, did you have a comment in reference to compensation? I want to try to get back on track.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, the compensation's already been put in place, and that's why I'm leaving this 10% reduction in place. It's about the same amount the bushel limits were put to have it opened up back in 2013. I don't know if you got that chart show or not, but the bushel limits that were put out for the different beer licenses, what those numbers were compared to the 10% reduction, but pretty close. And a 10% reduction last year was supposed to be, just like in 2008, a temporary thing. 2008, Dresden was supposed to be closed for 3 years. That's why we got 3 years of ghost body, which stretched out into 3.5 years. We still don't have Dresden back. 10% reduction was because of depleted fishery. No longer depleted fishery, but they still stuck the 10% reduction on us. The 10% reduction should be used to open the dredge fishery back up.
You reply to that?
Yeah, there are a couple things. I mean, one thing is, if you're a fan of Fahrenheit 451, which is where none of us have any books or anything else, and you have to tell each other what went on before. I mean, that's sort of like what we do here. And so that was by Ray Bradbury, the life science fiction. But to tie, and we've never understood, first of all, where the 3 year came from. The ghost pot fishery was based on the amount of money that was allocated. It actually went 3 years in a little bit. It was strictly based on the fund. It was a way to provide work. That was a conscious effort from the ghost pot program, the oyster programs Jim Weston put into place. Ron Lipschitz and Dims had a coal ring study. That was all to, you know, compensate, mitigate the problems of the crab fishery at the time. It had nothing to do with the 3 year. The only thing about 3 years back in 2008, really, was the waiting list. They were told, you'll come off that waiting list when there's 3 years of 200 million female spawning crabs. And later that was just 250. So you don't have to accept that, but really that's what was involved. It was on the waiting list. In terms of the 10%, that was a bay-wide agreement by all the jurisdictions because of the abundance information. We were depleted last time around with the 2014 year dredge survey at 68.5 million crabs below the 70 million unsafe level. That's where the 10% agreement came about. There's still remnants of that 10% in all the jurisdictions are still holding to that because 101 rounded up million spawning female age crabs is nothing to write home about either. And that's really why there's only been some modest changes that the Dredge Commission last month, when the areas for the closure, the harvesting, took place for the sanctuary, it was done in such a way that there would be balance. And so the 10% doesn't really carry forward that way. The 2013 bushel limits, I was speaking to Ida Hall right before the meeting, and they were much different than the bushel limits we have in place now. Those bushel limits were strictly to compensate for either or both a winter dredge open season and an extension of December 15th. So, I mean, I think really your charge at hand, go back to Billy, is figuring out the conservation equivalency. It is something with the compensation. It is something that does have to go forward. The way I look at it might be different than the way the commission is looking at it, but the way I look at it is if the abundance was back to where it was in 2011 or 2010 when it was actually better, then this conversation probably wouldn't be as necessary. But you know, and after that great run in 2012 in March, things have been less successful in the fisheries and last. 70s, but not less effort to produce only 35 million pounds, which is a good year for us, 35 million pounds. So I hope I covered all the bases,
thank you. Anyone have any comments or ideas as far as compensation? Mr. Diggs.
I mean, the bushel limits right now are pretty constrictive. I mean, especially at the prices of crabs and stuff like that. I mean, the bushel limits really had no effect on the market of crabs like this spring. I mean, it was a handful of us catching them down the bay. I wish Jeremy was here because he would tell. He was there crabbing. I mean, like, from now until through the fall, I mean, you might start getting money again for your crabs about middle of October, and that's when the bushel limits would go back again. That's going to be like the end of the line for a lot of crab buyers. I mean, some people like 6 bushels, stuff like that. I mean, they have 8 bushels. I mean, stuff is just, I mean, that's basically, you ain't got to worry about nobody's crab hunting rigging up to go crab drudging if they get on them bushel ones because they don't have enough money to rig up and go. I mean, they're at the end of the line. I mean, them guys need to catch more crabs, not less. I mean, Carolina, everybody, they're shipping crabs up hard as they can go. I mean, you've got to be competitive. You're in an East Coast market, you know what I mean? And the bushel ones, so it's really, it's getting, I mean, it's just not, dude, you've got to be able to compete. If they got crabs, you've got to have crabs. And at $20 and $30, I mean, that ain't a whole lot of crabs. I mean, do the math. 29 bushels at $30 ain't even $900. I mean, that's not a whole lot for, I mean, a 255 crab pot.
I have slightly different. I'm not going to argue what you're saying, but isn't there a decent market just before July 4th for basket crabs?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it make sense to try to adjust this so that you went up in your bushel limits maybe 2 weeks before July 4th just so you can time it for that market?
I mean, what's been increasing? I mean, that's not really.
Okay, you can't catch the limit?
No, I mean, most of the time, I mean, if I 47 bushels, Jimmy's are $100-some a bushel.
Well,
no, I'm not making money like that, Cap. I wish I was, but no.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about this is maybe the 8 to 10 bushels that could make a difference for those guys.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, but the bulk of your fishery is 255. That's what's carrying the industry.
Okay.
We have to think about the pickers, the processors, the crab buyers. I mean, the whole, it's a wheel. You know,
okay,
you've
got
to keep these guys. I mean, I just don't see taking any more. I mean, how many people up here are currently crabbing? Show of hands. Anybody up here on this board currently got pots in the water?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. So, what do y'all think about taking more crabs away? I mean, do y'all think?
Yeah.
I just don't, are y'all catching more crabs this year? I mean, we're catching a lot more crabs. We caught a whole lot last fall, last spring. I mean, that's all we've done is catch crabs this year. So, I mean, we can't really afford to take.
I forwarded it in 08 to 2015. I mean, let me tell you something. If somebody would have told me you would take 2 weeks off your work to keep that industry open on 3, give it to me. No.
We're not taking
it. I took 7 years.
Well, this isn't the only option. I mean, that's what we're here for.
That's what I mean. So how are we going to option this out? I mean,
Crabs.
Here's another my thing, and I hate to say it, and I've said it at meetings, and I've said it to Rob, and I've said it at this commission meeting. You can't enforce pot limits, and you can't enforce bushel limits on the crab pot. I'm sorry to say it, but that's law enforcement, that's known fact.
We were checked multiple times this spring. They counted my crab multiple times.
Did you count your pots?
No, they can.
I'm just saying.
No, it is a problem. They can't. They got to chase them down.
They may chase yours down if they may be able
to find yours if you use them in one area. Well, but if you try to make it so that they can't count it or make it difficult by using different areas,
what I'm asking is,
I can see where they would have a hard time doing it.
You know, the drudges are not asking. You know, you can track them down. I'm sorry. So I mean, there's a give and take. At some point in time. You know, there's a give and take. It doesn't matter what goes up on bushel limits. If you can't enforce all of it, 90, 100% of the time, then how you know? still doesn't matter.
I mean, they do a good job in our area. Maybe we have more marine police, but I mean, they do a pretty good job of keeping up with what people are doing around here. Maybe it's because they oyster a lot down here, so we got a lot of enforcement, but.
Probably.
I don't see all this people catching over the limit and massive amounts of crab. I mean, we just don't see this. I mean, you see a lot of crab pots around the mouth of the creeks and stuff because people got Carolina skiffs and they don't want to travel out to the main stems of the rivers and stuff. People don't want to go far. The average age, like they said, is 60 some years old. You think he wants to go off beat and banging in the middle of the river and stuff? They probably don't. They might want to stay up there.
Average age of crab runners. What's the average age of crab pots? I see a lot of young ones in it every day.
Maybe they're old.
Yeah, they were referring to crab judges.
Yeah, we were referring to crab judges. We were referring to crab pots.
So basically, one of the options over crab judging is you're going to have to take away from the crab potters. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but the crab potters got what the judges ate.
So in order to get our judges back, we've got to take away from crab potters.
Well,
that's
we're not getting
no
benefit
from
population increase.
Unless somebody can come up with another idea.
Yeah, okay, I just
want to
make sure that's
understandable. But going back, I mean, yes, in some ways, the potters got what the dredgers
broke out in the other.
But the potters also took, you took a cut in gear. We took a 34% reduction overall in the fishery.
Bigger call rings.
Right. I mean, it wasn't that we took that catch and moved it right to the pot fishery. I mean, I think there has been some recruitment in that fishery, but... We'll make it, and I think
crabbing's not been no better since they stopped crab dredging. I don't got nothing to do. We're seeing everybody's seeing this increase in crabs and stuff out there. Looks like to me it should be plenty of crabs to open a little bit of a dredge fishery without crippling the whole industry. If you're gonna take X amount of people, take that many bushels away from them. I wish there was a buyer or somebody here to speak to that. This is a big business, and you're talking about crippling it. It's already crippled, and you're gonna put the. Just squeeze it on a little bit tighter?
Well, no, because the 49 or 53 that was out, and there was 70-something new licenses added with not 2.5 or 3 months effort. It was 7 months effort. That effort was supplied as soon as it was turned over. I'm sorry.
We live in a very populated area, and I just don't see all these grabbers and young grabbers and stuff. I'm young, and I'm out there, and I just don't see it. We're in a very populated area, probably the most populated of all the geographic regions on the bay.
We've got a question here, Mr. Powers.
I have a fundamental question that I don't have an that you guys know the answer to. So how's the crabbing this year compared to last year and the year before and the year before and the year before?
Awesome.
It's awesome. So it's not a matter of you're working harder, you're working hard.
You're working less.
You're working less and catching the same or more crab. So that's a good thing. And that, I think, is one of the messages that the commission needs to get, is that things are going good this year.
I mean, the peeler run, I mean, people should know. We should have people from everybody. Them boys ought to have smoked them. I mean, soft crab price indicates there was a lot on the market. Maybe that's a false indicator. I don't know. I mean, we've done good. Everybody's done good. I'm seeing an increase. I'm all for crab dredging and stuff, but I mean, I'm for expanding the industry. I mean, we're asking for 1.5 million or 1 million pounds. I mean, I just don't see I want them to go back to work. Like I said, I like peeler pot. I participate in everything. I like it all. So I mean, anything that you take is taken. But I mean, I feel like you're going to get what you're looking for very soon. The potters. I mean, generally, I don't know about everybody else there, but August and stuff, September, we catch a lot. I mean, that when the crabs tighten up and they eat a lot of bait. I think everybody's going to find what they're looking for, cheap prices, limits, the whole nine yards. So, I mean, you'll do well to put over 1,000 pots if you want to. What difference does it make if you can't catch for a certain amount? People aren't going to set pots.
Put on scarce crab and they'll set more pots, two rigs. I do know that. Marshall knows that, too.
Mandatory reporting, what's that show?
Mr. Sanford.
Yeah, for what? It takes about 3 months before we can tell you.
If you want to continue your meeting, press 1 to confirm. If there is no response, the conference will end.
You may want to leave it on because he may think it's a 6 o'clock start. Okay.
Of course, I didn't think anybody knew.
Day after day.
But, you know, I do have a comment, and, you know, you don't have to agree with this, but one thing you should agree with, I've been running the data up until a few years ago, back to 1986, and running it by year. So whether or not you want to think about where the crabs went, you should realize that the crab pot was anywhere from 78% to 87% of the fishery up until the time that the winter dredge season was closed. Now you're looking at 95% or 96%. So no matter how you want to look at it, I'm not advocating, I'm just telling you what the statistics say. The other thing I wanted to mention about compensation is, you know, when you have 101 million spawning age females, they're there when aren't harvested, are there to spawn, already have, in late May, it's already happened, some of the spawning, the rest is going to happen in July, August. Now, you have a good, fairly good, I think it's 7 to 5, gentlemen, correct me, juveniles, out of 25 years, so 7 ties, got 269 million juveniles. Better than last year. So you know the fishery is going to take a lot of the spawners for next year. And that is this system that was developed from July to July to pay attention to the juveniles. They're not only what's going to be harvested everywhere in late August on, they're also the spawners to turn around the corner into 2016. So that's why the compensation is important. I don't think you're taking from a gear type to a gear type. I just think you're balancing the crafts if you want to look at it that way. But, you know,
Mr.
Sand. I got a question for staff. We're looking at these push orders for this year, and that's based on a 10% reduction. Say next year, spawning females increase, is most likely staff is going to ask for higher bushel limits or increased bushel limits?
Bushel limits are there to be adjusted both ways.
Okay. Yes, I got you. So we have a higher, if the dredge fishery doesn't open this year, next year we have a higher abundance, it's possible that our bushel limits will change. And so the crab pot fishery will take such a drastic hit.
But don't we have a higher abundance this year than we have?
We do. The real only evidence, the dredge survey is what we go by. We know it doesn't work. It's ridiculous. We all know it. It's a joke. Best available science dictates what we
only available science.
Well, the improvements, I'm not quite on that situation about the winter dredge survey. I did make the CBSAC wait 3 years before they made it the 3 year survey. We had a trawl survey at Mint, we had a trawl survey in Maryland, we had a pot survey up in Calvert Cliffs in Maryland. It is the best survey we have, but there is a group working on the other survey data and other information. And so that is something that's very important because they're trying to figure out how these different surveys really complement the winter dredge survey and what information they can get from them. And that's really important because the idea that you have a BIM survey, a crab survey, which is a fish survey that they get crabs, that's been around since 1955, and all of a sudden you're going to say it doesn't have information, you know, that's not the right way to do things. So there is work to bring in those information from those other surveys. I think that will help.
I was saying, if we got more crabs, how come we can't just, instead of giving us more bushels, like it should be, why don't they just give that to the dredge fishery this year?
Right.
I mean, and then next year it might be enough. In the crab. I mean, the industry is surviving on the bushel limits right now, barely. So if you don't cut no more, it'd be one thing. But to cut, I mean, that's just, I just can't see cutting any more off the crab pots.
How do you feel about season, like, stuff like that?
I mean, if you're going to try to open up dredging, you're not getting crab until December 15th. It's not worth asking for. But
no, I'm talking December 1st.
Look at the other chart.
Well, I mean, personally, in my opinion, I'd like to see it March 17th or December 1st, the season. That's my opinion.
I would like to see it through December 15th with the open crab dredging. I mean, I know that's not going to happen.
So. Yeah. We're through December 1st now.
Right, correct.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, same difference.
Any
know, not much fact you look at, and we'd be talking about another almost $1 million coming into the economy.
But how much did you cost the economy by everybody not buying bait, not buying buoys, not buying rope, not buying dip, the truck, crab trucks not on the road, not selling to the markets and everything? How much did you cost the state doing that?
But then when you go out there, you still got those crabs being sold in the wintertime, then you got trucks moving up
with 25 versus 25 boats versus, you know, how many? The math on that's not going to take long to compensate.
Down here, up home, how many times have you been crabbing after something?
Very often.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's an upper bay, lower bay.
It's a lower bay thing. It's not just,
yeah.
So it's going to be the same thing.
Let me go back to the geographic location.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Once 15
well, I'm talking
years.
About crab until December 1st. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about it. I'm saying if you crab until December 1st, anytime you cut the crab pot fishery, all that, you're going to go from a lot of buyers to a little bit.
If this fishery is going to open up, the crabs are going to have to come from the pot fishery. I mean, that's all it is to.
A lot of things come from
and I mean, you got them one time, and now you don't want to give them back. But they're going to have to be given back if dredge fishery is going to open.
Well,
and it's time that this fishery goes back to work. It's got the best science, the only real science of any fishery.
And that was the reason for moving this to the beginning of the agenda. We've got to get past. If we can't get past this point.
Could there be any conversation with the Gila Pops?
They already took their season away and everything else.
Yeah,
and they're about to change up 210
pops. About 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days.
Five days.
And they got 210 pops.
Yeah, so really good.
How
many?
210.
On paper. I'm going to say what y'all said. It's just on paper. Thank you.
I guess what the boys don't do is that if this is one of the options we're going to have the open crab dredging, then we've got to figure out how everybody feels.
Exactly. And whether or not we can move forward.
I reckon we need a motion on this, that this is how we feel it should be, or we don't feel how it should be. But we can sit here and debate it back and forth all night.
Well, the other option is change the season dates for crab pot. You'll get the biggest.
Or status quo.
Mr. Powers.
There is a third option, and it would not be any fun to implement. And it addresses the fundamental issue. The fishery is overcapitalized.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
How are you going to get people out of the fishery?
Well,
obviously. I want to say this in another way.
I just don't see that.
They took the 53 out, it didn't help. So now you're going to reduce the effort.
No. I mean, I think the real issue is in 93 when they opened up the peeler pot fishery, they didn't
where
say.
Where are all these peeler potters and stuff at now?
It's a question of how many millions of crab pots are licensed.
Oh my God, dude.
I don't mean no harm. I think the world of you. But there is other places besides Hampton.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to say there is a life beyond Hampton.
It's the most popular river it is around there, and all I say
well,
is I'm going to tax it off.
64 runs north too, bro. I'm sorry.
If it was that common up there, people would be coming down the bay more.
Well,
I think he needs to appreciate crab in the upper Rappahannock and around these pots. We'd be sitting on the bank more than we'd be in the water because we can't crab those vessels. 3 to 4 bushel crab.
That's
more life. And a short season like that, you have a long season. You start early, you crab late. We start late and quit early.
Doug, what is your what would you say is your average season up where you are?
Average season?
In terms of length.
Well, mid-April to after Labor Day, we can catch a few crabs in, but the market goes down. So the amount that we catch, the bushels we catch, is really don't. You know, we crab a few days a week or something. So after, I'd say, the latter part of September,
are you in about the same thing?
No, we kept crabs up to the last of November.
You're
the 15th
not
of November.
Crab. I mean,
most everybody goes Austrian.
Yeah,
up
that's
right.
Yeah.
We'll stop.
I think one of the things we need to remember is the geographic location. And off of Virginia. That's a quick word about Hampton or Eastern Shore. Think about Virginia. That's where we're from.
That's
where we're at. We're off Virginia. It's not Eastern Shore, not Western Shore, or Tangier. We're off of Virginia. And I go back to what I said earlier. If this is one of the options we got to have it over crab dredging, then are we for it or are we against it? We can sit here and talk about it all night.
Well, we used to have 51.
We used to have 51 that was eligible. And I take it that two or three died?
Yeah, four moved off. I would say if you got 20 boats, you'd be.
Yeah, 49.
See, that's the thing. We'll get back to you later. Okay, so. Tim, sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure some of them died.
Oh, like you say, we could stay on this all night. It's possible that we go ahead and make a motion if we want to see crab dredging open.
We can, but do we need additional detail to present?
Well, I would think then it comes as to what we're talking about, how many people are going to be eligible, how many people are going to actually do it.
Right.
And so then you find out whether you've actually got, you're looking at the 25,000 bushels, the million pounds, or whether you're looking at 500,000 pounds.
Right.
You know, we won't know that until we know how many people are going to do it. And then I think the thing is that of the 49, when we get to this part, we're going to have to figure out a way that they declare whether they're going to be in the fishery or not. So you're not figuring 49 people are in it, and it actually ends up being only 15.
Right.
That somehow or another, that they've got to make that commitment. They've got to show the boat. They've got to show that they've got the rig.
When would you suggest that they actually have to declare?
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go. We get
yeah,
past that. We have to start with this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Farrington.
Rob brought up the fact that the 2012 March over harvest. Then I might be shooting myself in the foot. But if you were to go back to the way it was, hundreds and thousands of crab pots and crabbers out of the water for the month of March, but being dredging open to the end of March, keep the fishery active, that's probably your best and only way to do it and not damage the fishery through the summer and in the fall.
Go back to like it used to be.
What was that, Ken?
Like it used to be.
Yeah.
April 1st.
Right. Go back. The crab pot starts April 1st and the dredging dredges to the end of March. If the ones that have any allocation left could go to four, let them keep on going. That's, but to take away through the summer and put on the lower limits, and even in the fall, you get other states you're competing with in the market. It's all supply and demand. It doesn't matter what you're catching here. If Carolina is loading the market up, you're not going to get crap if you're catching 15 bushels. You're still not going to get the $15. But it would definitely help the spawning stock in March and in early April. And it would get the fishery open back up.
I have seen, and I'm going to be fair about this, I have seen kind of an April, aren't they April? The run crab is already an 8 more good.
I know, but.
So I'm just out there, trying to be fair.
I mean, but still, March 17th, before that 2012, when it was warm all winter, I put them overboard, 51 bushels worth, right down in Hampton Bar, when I got to the towers, turned right around, come to the dock.
What I'm saying is, we all know crabs go by water temperature, fish go by water temperature.
Always.
Yeah.
But, that's the only way to be fair, because I want to see dredging.
I put mine in February 1 year back in
I'm just saying.
That wouldn't be, if you did that, one thing about it, that's 13 days, 14 days,
uh-huh.
is a lot different than cutting you, because you crab how many days is in a month? How many Sundays? Four, so you crab, what, 25, 30 days in a month?
You know, like I say, when you do that, a lot. Like I say, a lot has gone by.
Mr. Sanford.
2012, five crab and salmon.
I want everybody to tell you, I'm not, but I just don't see it. That's a hard hit for the pot.
This is based on 49 people.
Yes.
This is based on poundage, so the first part that Joe did is on a million pounds, the second part's on a million and a half. That's what it's based on.
Okay.
So.
So it's not based on the number of dredgers?
No, no, but what we mentioned about that is really, I don't say this too often as a detail, because you can cap the harvest based on the number of participants once the industry declares that they're in the fishery. So that's something for later.
Mr. Powers?
So that really is a question. How many pounds per individual would it need to be a viable fishery to open it back up, to get your rig set up and get out on the water and work? How many, I mean, if we're talking, I mean, so if this is, I'm just looking at it from the other direction. If this is unpalatable, and I worry about just delaying the opening from a recruitment standpoint, but I'm not sure how bad that is, but that's always an issue when you just do closed seasons. And let's just say only 20 people go in. If this is calculated based on 50 people being in it, or 40 people, it's, I know it's pounds, but then it's split up to be a reasonable amount for 40 people, or 50 people.
I already answered it. If you took the million pounds, I doubt you'd even need it.
That's the point. So how much would you need?
500 bushels I'm asking for is less than that already. So you would need it. And I agree with Ken Smith. If 21 boats sign up, give me 21 boats, 800 or 900 bushels apiece, and call it that. Don't take more. Don't say there's 20,000 bushels and only 10 boats sign up and they're getting 2,000 bushels apiece. It's insane. And I don't disagree with Ty's suggestion. Nobody ever crab potty killed first April. Nobody caught any crab dredging after the 15th of March. Look at the records, they'll prove it. Most everybody caught. A few did, but not any amount. There wasn't enough participants to catch any amount of crabs.
It's for 11 in the March.
I know that, but it's a rare occasion, and most of the fleet had already cut out. So I'm saying, if you want to do something, shut it. Fleet part shut down, but still shut down crab dredging the 15th. There's nothing wrong with the proposal for the mechanics of the dredge fishery that Joe already put up there for you.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
And Ken, it sounds like you'll support crab dredge opening as long as you don't lose anything at all, okay? But where would you be tonight if your fishery had been shut down for 7 years?
I don't know. I'll work for a
and
right
you'd be looking at us hoping you.
I think we well, we're not hard. Would
it not have enough grudges to give you a little bit of stock?
Would my winter times work not count? I stepped off of college and ended up stern of a dredge boat, so my money doesn't count, but yours does.
Mr.
Dinn. I got you. That makes good sense.
Mr. Moore.
I said you don't want to lose anything for anybody to go back to work.
I think we're having a very frustrating conversation because of the fact that we're very frustrated, all of us, by the state of the resource. And that's what it amounts to. I think if you go back, we spent a lot of time working on triggers in this committee. We've spent a lot of time working on the mechanics of this fishery coming back. And as Billy mentioned in his presentation, he's concerned the fact that we're not going to hit the resource triggers that I think we all agree to. And Billy, you and I have talked about that, and as he said in front of the commission 2 years ago, that he was fine with triggers, but now I think he's changed his mind because we haven't gotten there. And that's frustrating for all of us, and that really is unfortunate. The flip side of that, though, is we need a sustainable resource out there. And hopefully it's better for everyone in this room who's crabbing right now. It sounds like it is this year, generally. But we're not near where the triggers were that this committee worked hard on 2 years ago. And if we need to go with a new option, that's fine. But I think we're making a decision to simply open this fishery because we're frustrated. That's premature in what we're doing, and trying to have a long-term sustainable fishery is what it amounts to. And it's not going to be good for the watermen that are here. It's not going to be good for the resource that's out there. And we're going to continue to plod along, unfortunately, like we have since 2008. And so I think we need to think back to the work we did for 3 or 4 years to come up with the triggers and to come up with some viable options to move this forward and try to do things in a manner that was on a schedule and based on where the resource was at that point. we're all frustrated by that, and I think that's.
I'm so against what you're talking about with this trigger stuff.
Hold on.
Well, whoa.
I'm telling you, if you go with triggers, then let's go ahead and get a management plan here that you boost crabs, and you're not rebuilding crabs.
I'm gonna fish 10 days off right now, but I know people got three rigs over there. Dane River, Rappahannock, and in the bay. If a trigger's gonna be made effect, I want hot tags tomorrow morning.
Yes, I agree 100%.
I'm gonna tell you that right now. I've sat on the sidelines, and I'm out there, I live it, breathe it every day. And I know the people's out there. So how am I ever supposed to ever go back to work when the price is high, when there is no crabs, you hear the crabs going? We're having a good year. They got 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 pots on board. Okay?
Yep.
You're laughing.
Yeah, the higher you are, the more you put on.
Yeah. When you got plenty of crabs, hey, I got my 425 catching my bushel limits.
Yep. Exactly.
Are you going to your bushel? Trigger's never going to get hit. All that was, and I'm sorry to say it, and I'm getting passionate about this, smoking mirrors. I'm tired of smoking mirrors. If we're going to regulate this fishery, I want personal. I want it where it's going to be managed, not there on a piece of paper. If law enforcement can't manage it, then that piece of paper can't manage it. Plain and simple.
I would like to make a motion. We've had the industry panel come back and say they support pot tagging. I believe many members on this committee support pot tagging. The industry panel has said, which I'm sure you will get people that aren't in your group there and come back and say, not me, that the participants are willing to pay for the tags. So I'm going to make a motion that we ask staff to come up with a proposal that will be ready for next spring season to do tagging. Or if it can't be ready for next spring, what
the agenda? Like that, what do you do in the summertime when a man's got 200 crab pots on the shore washing them and he's got his limit overboard? How do you compensate for that? How do you do it? Like me, I set 425 crab pots in April. Okay, I crab in Tugboat Alley. You know how many I took up? 325. That's 100. That's the far cross of 10%.
Mr. O'Reilly.
You don't have a clue.
Well, no, I mean, but if we start now, we could have something in place by the spring.
Mr. O'Reilly.
A full-blown discussion. The committee talked about pot tagging.
We started
effort control. The committee moved off of that to sanctuaries and went in other directions. And the committee should come back to effort control, because that's really what this committee talked about when they talked about effort control. They didn't talk about latent effort. They didn't talk about the waiting list yet. They talked about the pod tagging. We do have a proposal in. It would be very simple for staff to present something, but I think it's up to the committee to see how they want to go, because we know we're from 2009 and 2001, we know what it would take to have pod tagging. Information from Billy Mullis based on the lobster fishery and tags is good information, but the problem is we need a lot more than that. We'd be happy to, when you want to talk about this full blown, like we're supposed to be here talking about crab dredge fishery season tonight, we'll do that. The plan is for the committee, if you can't come to resolution on the crab dredge fishery season and compensation or conservation equivalency tonight, then it's your choice to decide whether you come back to it. If you do come to agreement, the plan, at least from a staff level, is that we do come back to effort control and we do come back to the sanctuary issues. And that's sort of the plan as we go forward, because you're a vital part of the commission's advice. That's what you are.
Yeah, let's get back on this agenda. We've been here almost an hour and a half now. We're still on compensation.
Yeah,
I'd like to see somebody make a motion.
I believe you had a motion at one point.
I probably didn't know somebody.
Mr. Sanford.
Yeah, we're talking about economics of the fishery, and I can only say this, Ken, that basically March 17th, I make my money then. I make a lot of it.
Well, I do too.
If we wait till April 1st, open up the fishery, it's a good chance that we're going to have a lot of crab on the market April 1st and really make any money. I would prefer bushel limits over everything. I still believe that's a way to manage a fishery. Hot tag, you should really look forward to working on that. But, you know, bushel limits for me is the way to go. And I think to have crab dredge fishery open, I think really we should look at that and don't change any season dates whatsoever as far as crab pot.
So you're suggesting one of these options?
It's not a preferred, a preferable option, just based on the fact that these numbers that we're still working on 10% reduction. I'm hoping next year that the numbers are going to be higher. These numbers will change. They'll increase. It'll be more of a happy medium for everybody. But this is what we have to do this year in order to have the crab dredge fishery.
Mr. Powers?
I have, Rob, so I just did the math, and if you say 40 pounds a bushel, okay, maybe it's 50 and my math is off.
47,
okay. So if it's, so my numbers are a little bit low. And basically, if you do the 900 bushels, it works out, and you say you're going to have 40 people in the fishery, you're talking, or I mean 20 people in the fishery, you're talking about 7,200 or 72,000 pounds, I think. Is that right? 36
yeah.
times 20.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that would take these reductions, if that was in fact what happened, then these reductions could be cranked back up by a third. So
yeah.
Can staff, as part of the proposal, say, here's a sliding scale for what we're going to do for reductions based on who is in the fishery, and then somebody else has to decide what it is. But there is a declaration date that is somewhere before January 1st.
November 15th.
November, that's a fine date. I'm just thinking about getting regulations in place. Okay, the declaration date of November 15th, and at the November commission meeting, you have a number of how many people are in this fishery, and you can advertise for the limits that you're going
to
do in the spring.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept option A1, and then it can be readjusted to if there's less than 25, we're talking about go ahead and give that amount back to the population.
And do you, a question towards your motion, and then I'm willing to second it, is, and do you have a bushel limit that you want to put on that for the season for those boats? Or is that something for later? No, this 900 annual.
Well, that's what it was. It was 900 annual bushel.
Right.
Yes.
And
it would be adjusted. So if they were, so that actually gives you, if he's figuring 25, that's only 22,000. But we're going to figure it as 1 million pounds. Right now, we're going to figure it as 1 million pounds. But if there are only 12 boats that come in, it would be a half a million.
That's fine.
Yeah, it would be adjusted where that amount of crabs actually go back to the pot fishery.
And what happens if it's 30 boats?
You still are capped at 1 million pounds.
Okay, capped at 1 million pounds, okay.
And they split that 1 million pounds amongst the boats that are left.
Okay.
With no boat having any more than 900 bushels.
And when it gets below 1 million pounds, then we come back and revisit the bushel limits for the spring.
Are you saying individual quota? 900. Is that what you said? Each boat has individual quota?
Of 900.
Okay.
All right.
I covered everything.
That's the max they can have. That's the max they can have. That's assuming that only 25 boats get in. But if 40 boats get in,
right.
That has to be adjusted.
Okay. So who's the official notekeeper over there?
I understand.
Could somebody who's ever official notekeeping read back what the
Secretary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Madam Secretary, can you read back in motion?
No, well, actually, I think we want staff that's sitting there with a pen and paper to write it down.
I have a partial motion typed up.
Information was to accept option A1 is on the screen currently, but also adjust the limit at 1 million pound conservation approximately, adjust it down if the effort is, if the effort call number vessel.
And
matches up to the 900.
And there's a 900 pound bushel cap for the season.
900 bushel cap for the season.
Okay.
Everybody clear?
Or the 1 million pounds divided by the N, whatever that works out to. Okay. So I So I think we have a clear motion now. I second that motion.
Any?
It's a discussion.
Discussion.
Okay.
Does that include? You bring it into the discussion in that moment.
Mr. Sanford, discussion?
Does that include a daily bushel limit for the vessel, or is this an open?
Or is that something we want to work out after we get this part approved?
I think that's a part you can work out later. I don't think I need to work out.
Yeah, that's us.
Okay.
Any other discussion, questions? Make the call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? One, okay.
Any abstentions?
One abstention.
And one, Joe, one abstention.
All right, so 10-1-1.
Correct. Yes, we do.
Are we done?
Yes, we may have a 10-minute break. Meeting adjourned for 10 minutes. Marshall had something to take care of.
You have decided at the beginning of the meeting, we're going to finish this meeting.
Except for,
we're not done. Let's come back to it.
They did, yeah, the last meeting.
And that's a fine thing for them.
What percentage
of the
I catch four females, male, eight, female.
The real issue with tagging, the real issue with the market is, there's been this industry panel that says they want to see plot tags. And don't get me wrong, I think we're comprised a lot of the grabbers out there, but it's not everybody. So you can't say you represent everybody. And there may be some of that. If the commission says,
somebody has that number, that'd be like,
Certainly.
How do we get along for Frank Bosson bringing up the real complaints that said,
I don't want to be on that one.
We covered D. We got A, B, and C. I mean, basically, the license requirements and all are right there. Do we need to revisit them?
They will have a daily limit.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that we need to do.
But some of them will load it up.
Yeah, no, there were daily limits. At a later time. But that's sort of in C too.
I ain't got nothing to do with this, but they ain't just go through all that and let's do that. No, unless BMRC agrees with it. The commission's got to agree with that before you have to do all that, ain't it? And they ain't just go through all that if you don't get the commission to agree with it.
Yeah, just how much detail we want to go to the commission with.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to keep on until they vote on it.
But they need, we need to get on the harvest and season to vote on.
Well, I'll say this February.
Hey, Mark. Call them.
I think we have a couple of probably need to go outside for that.
Be on September 5th. I very seldom do catch a limit, so. And anybody's got catch a limit, must be doing it. They must have a lot of hill.
And I'm so happy when September 1st comes, because I control it.
Well, don't be enough to hurt yourself when you catch it. The most money you make is when you get a 10-year-old woman for that. Everything's hot. I know my trouble gets 10 bushes at $40, and it gets 20 bushes at
Well, that's one of the advantages. Especially if you don't allow transfers.
I figured it out.
I got a wooden boat too.
Can you catch those baits over here?
I mean, when we went tonight,
we get bait every day.
I kept asking everybody, are we going to have more dead fish or more bags? And there will be cheating.
I don't know that by much.
You'll have people that don't, you know, that underreport their way. But you know, farmers will still be dead fish. That's okay. I don't work for
you. You got to really work with somebody else. You can't think of a job. Them boys can't get a little job. They got 12,000 rich.
10 Fridays.
And some boys are having to ask every day. I would love to get on one of them. Might need a job.
Tomorrow I gotta go.
That was the only job in the morning.
We were probably extracting.
I don't know what they would do on that. I swear I'm coming up short. I don't even want to be on that committee. It's enough bomb in the state of Virginia, they shouldn't have to cut a lot. I'll tell you something, you ain't doing well if you got to sit on something and build somebody's license plate. That ain't worth an answer. And you got to work on the water? You can't do that. Somebody put you in the business. I can't say one thing. They don't bother me. I'd like to see them come live in that and then talk to him. I could tell you one of them bored me. Other than one of them. They know. They know who does right and who don't. They ain't hard to fix. They come board you enough to know who does right and who don't.
Took 5 licenses just last week.
Yeah. Well, more or less all for oyster violations.
4 of them for dredging on public bottom. And I guess private. Private.
what caught this one? Something.
Most of them were dredged on sanctuary bottom.
Is that what sanctuary?
Yeah, sanctuary bottom.
Four, they lost their license for 2 years. One for small oysters, they lost it for a year. Yankee,
I tell you what, there is a piece of state code right now that says if you get an oyster ticket, the commission is required to take your license for 6 months. It's not an option.
Yeah, but it should be.
That's one of the two.
I mean, a man can always go his life up and get a ticket and get one for small oysters.
You got 11, 12, 13%. That can happen on boxes easy. Now, if you're running 30%, 25 to 30, then you're not trying.
You can tell with some
trouble. Yeah, you
can. All right, let's get started again. We've been through and covered everything except for item C. We need discussion on item C on the agenda.
With this compensation, we have different agendas. We have different agendas. That's cool. The mail-out agenda is different than the one in the world.
Crab Judge, harvest area, and season. We've had different comments on seasons, so we need to open the discussion there.
So I'll open discussion. How many people think this area is okay or have real heartburn with this area?
Well, I was one of the four that did the crab survey. I think 80% of it's accurate, but if we didn't cover the whole entire bag, I can tell you where most of the damage was, and you see whether on the lower part where a lot of the red is at. But if you also look at the lower part to the right of it, from the other side of Yacht River Channel, I mean, there's back river stones there, there's a few there, but from the south side of the channel, coming out of Hampton, coming all the way down to the bridge, there's a mud lead that runs all the way down there and back and forth from the other side of the channel, where we got a lot of damage. On the other side of the channel, we did, but we couldn't find nothing there. I think, as far as the dredge survey, what we did, I think it was a very, very good survey. I don't think we covered all the quite possible areas because crabs, they always don't show up in the same places twice. Some years you might have more on hard bottom, some years you might have more in the mud.
To get the season over and revisit this.
Sure, you can revisit this later.
But don't you think that it would be good to accept this right now with staff recommending right now? And then after this fishery, this is something that you work on, and like somebody's talking about, maybe next year you say, go ahead, December, you open up that hard bottom. Science you can come in here, maybe more studies you could add, but I think this is a good start if we could just figure out now that the season would be.
The main thing is getting open, then we can work on changing.
Yeah.
Mr. Sanford?
Yeah. I don't agree, because I think once they take something, you'll never get it back.
It's going to be difficult to get the area expanded.
That's my opinion. Yeah. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I mean, personally, if it was up there, it'd be great, because it would serve my purpose, because I crammed the lower bay. You're not, you know, shove everything towards me. But yeah,
how wide is this area that you're suggesting they add?
The area I suggest really is anything south of the Pinnacle Shoal Channel. That's a lot of mud down there. You know, I mean, to me,
so you're saying just add a second area?
Yeah, I mean, I would, but.
And I look at it, and I think of geographical fairness. We always have this argument about.
I mean, it's not the fact
everybody
that there's any dredgers left down there, really, to speak of.
Okay,
I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, there's very few.
But the ones that are there,
they need a place to go. They should have a place to go.
There's some still down James River.
Not that. In comparison, you have more of them.
Okay,
people.
So
we don't count?
That's what we're working on. I'm just saying, man, you need it for everybody. That's all.
Arthur Shane. That's my opinion. You know, I can show you exactly where all the cut crabs are. Well, on the east side there is 40 pounds. Way inside on the pounds. And pounds over in the shallow water. And there was the pounds over there at Lynn Haven. And there was a few off there by the channel, but that's very rare. But from the channel to where the pounds is at, there's a mud lead that runs right off of Lynn Haven
right on up to the safe side of town. That's where the bulk of the crabs were caught there in December. Because historically, when we left, we always came south at the beginning. And then we worked our way back up north as it got colder.
Let me say something, Craig, when you lose something and not get it back. You lost crab dredging altogether. I mean, it was taken away, completely taken away. Went to court, but the statute said that it had to be revisited every year. You couldn't open it closed. That was the first start to this. The second start came was when we got, second was that tried to put a bill through the General Assembly where BMRC had to close grab dredging for two or more years. That was ordered, two or more years, which meant they could close it forever. That got repeated. And then we had a study with four boats to find the effect of grab dredging. And that's what's gotten us to where we are right now. So if we say that we don't get things back, you've gotten back 80% of what you had. You know, and then with maybe more studies and other things that we know, we know how to do that to get the funding for those things, then we can visit these other things about hard bottom, December, you know, to have studies like that to find out, you know, where we're going. But today, in today's world, if we're going to have anything, we've got to be able to back it up with science. And right now, the science, this is what the science says. And so I think this is what we ought to accept. And then if it's something we want to work on later, then we have to try to get that science to justify it.
I agree.
Mr. Raleigh, I'm sorry. I was waiting.
My comments are in keeping with those comments. The study wasn't perfect. I heard earlier that Bill Mullis, and I've heard it from others, they know areas, even on hard bottom, which wouldn't be a lot of discard mortality or damage or waste. Crabs, but this is exactly right what Ken is saying. This is what came out of the study. One commission member I remember because they all, in 2013, they all gave their opinion as to why there was a closure of the dredge season then. And abundance was the big item, but one commissioner said that this was only one study. So you know that they do depend on science. BIMS did the project. There were some areas in the beginning that probably could have been part of the study, but it wasn't perfect. That didn't happen. So I think you're getting good advice.
Could we take, Rob, let's just say this fishery was opened back up in this area, and whoever wanted to take another study was wrong, and go back down the safe side of the channel and stuff like that, and
I don't see why not. The only limiting factor would be that we paid for that study and it wasn't inexpensive. And I know that the money in your account that you contribute to, the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund, we're always scratching to try and find something to do as far as, you know, balance that fund. But it's not a lot. It pays for mandatory reporting, and then the remainder is a fairly modest amount. So we got lucky that one time. I can tell you exactly why we got lucky. We paid for oversight of our computer system to VITA. State agencies do, and we had a pass that year. VITA's about $71,000, so that enabled us to have enough money to have the study. But yes, if there was funding available, regardless of where it was.
But like on the same statute, like what we did before, the only thing it paid them. If there was, whoever would want to take that would have to take on their own account on whatever crabs would cost.
But we don't necessarily have to get the money from BMRC or other sources.
Right. But the answer is yes.
Mr. Powers.
So with that in mind, I would like to make a motion, just based on what I believe is a consensus at the table, that we accept this area and as part of the motion request that staff continue these studies through the next several years, two years, to try to understand more areas that could be opened up to be as good areas.
I don't think staff's got the funds
do
that. But I think we ought to accept this, right. and then we can open these others. Because, I mean, it's just like this Waterman's Foundation that we started. That's a 501c3, and we're eligible for grant money on that. So we might be able to find the grant money through some fisheries management that we can come in and maybe help staff to be able to do that, if we could do it. But
I wouldn't expect an emotion that quick. I had two questions in the audience I hadn't gotten to, so take those.
Well, it wasn't seconded.
Mr. Farrington, I think you were first. Mr. Mullis.
Yeah, I just really want to, you know, I mean, it sounds like we might have a chance of getting Grudge Fishery open, so I'd like to come up here on this chart. This apparently is York River Channel, my deck bay. There's Ware River right there, East River, North River, and 7. There's Bloody Bottom way down here, okay? There's a place down here called Blackie's Hole that's been fished 100 years. And there's mud there over top of your head, and it's no small area. Down in, and I wish the shipping channels were shown here, but this area right here, between the channels, historically, it's where a large majority of crabs are caught early in the season before they went to bottom. Marshall, you know it. Mm-hmm. Between the channels, we call it.
Yes.
On this side of the Baltimore Cut Channel, particularly from what used to be 22 and 24 to turn of the channel, it's all hard bottom. That's where the damage occurred down here. It didn't occur in this quarter down here. Off the coast, there's muddy bottom and rocks all the way down here to the Cutthroat River that laid right above the bridge tunnel. You can see it from the Bay Bridge Tunnel in your car when you go across. That's what we call the tugboat hood. All this bottom up here, that's not sand bottom. You've got the old house and the sill over here. Did they give you the old house and the sill mud or what? It's not sand, it's not hard bottom. So all I'm saying is we're doing the same thing sanctuaries did. My creek's full of crab pots now. 130 crab pots in a small creek I live in because it can't work in the middle of the bay. I'm just concerned about taking this area. Nobody historically crab dredged up there that much. Maybe in the area of Windmill Cut Channel 36. But there's a lot of area right here above that Texaco wreck, above the head of the cut channel, what we call it, over here to the eastern. All that's not super hard bottom. It was traditional fishing grounds. It's a pretty good area. So my concern is you're going to take the dredge fleet and box it in to some strange area. And it may not perform that well without the ability to move around a little bit. And I just hate losing all that historic bottom. South of the York River Channel, there's mud all down here, all the way to the end of the channel from the very first two buoys, one and two on the south side of it, all the way up, going in to, this is Pocosin River up here, and that's Back River. There's mud all the way up there. And I can prove it. What we're saying we need to guess and study, we already know. We've known it for years and years. Jeremy, am I right? Okay. Does anybody in Guinea know where soft and hard bottom is? Tommy Leggett? You crab buds, tell me. At the beginning, he knows. Tommy Leggett's sitting right there. Man's got a PhD. He'll tell y'all that I'm right.
I still have a PhD.
Well, you're not in the case. He'll tell y'all I'm right. He'll tell y'all I'm right. He knows I'm right. There's a lot of traditional brands down here that I don't see any reason it's all cut off like this. Who's going to enforce these lines? We'll have to put them in our plotter. That's fine. But there's a lot of soft bottom brackens, and I just think it's a shame to lose all the bottom. You're not even getting toward the end of York River Channel. That don't even end until way down here. There's mud bottom all the way down here. Blackie's Hole is way down here. There's mud bottom in 30 feet of water. When you get to 29 and a half feet, hold your horses because you'll get a dredge full of stunning. And if Wes Robbins was here, he could tell you I'm right. Because he came there and worked around me and Errol Kelly. And he had his dredges hanging over the stern of his boat all day long getting rocks out. So you've got to be careful. But there is a lot of soft bottom here and a soft bottom up here. And the hard bottom that really, really needs to be protected is east of the Baltimore Cut Channel to the shore over here. It's in Marshall's backyard. I'm sorry, Marshall. Y'all throw a lot of
things. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to disagree with you.
But we all know the truth. That's where the hard bottom is. You need to stay clear of. It's true. I mean, it's like that would be the minefield for destruction or waste crabs, Rob, would be over here east of that channel. And then at Lightship Stones, there is some hard bottom just on the west side of the Baltimore Cut Channel. But as soon as that bottom gets to less than 34 feet of water or 36 feet, it turns soft. trust me. So that hard bottom is outside of that 34 to 36 foot contour. You can tow all the way down this edge in 34 feet of water, and you're in mud all the way down there above the tugboat buoy where you're going to them studs. And it's, I'm not talking about a small place. It's some miles of bottom. So if we were to conceptually open a crab grudge fishery, I would like for y'all to appoint a small committee that could visit with Ron and talk to him. I personally will draw a chart and submit it to you guys that shows where really the mud starts and stops. And I know it from Cape Henry all the way to the Maryland line, either from crab grudging or clamming. I know the whole bottom of the Chesapeake Bay, and I've got Loran numbers on it, where the stones start and stop. I know where the sand starts and stops, and I've got a pretty extensive book. So I'd be willing to share that information. I'm telling the truth. If we want to protect the hard bottom where damage will occur, all of it's to the east of the cut channel, every bit of it. When you get on the west side of that cut channel, as soon as it shoals up, that bottom's soft. So I'm just saying, I've got a real appeal here. I thank y'all for trying to open the fishery, but this scares me. We're losing a lot of traditional bottom where we really wouldn't tear up crabs. There wouldn't be a lot of waste. And then if you look at a guy like Ty, they're going to sail out of the back river. They got to come up here on just about on the north side of the Yorker Channel to even go to work. But there's a lot of area right here that probably could be included in this, a little nose like that. And I'm not so sure you could include a little bit of this. I mean, where Sand Hill leads, Marshall, right here?
There's the lead, yeah.
Okay. And that's bottom that they worked in bad weather for years if the wind was out of the east.
Grass there up to your waist.
Yeah, you can't even get the bottom there for what's there. So, I mean, there's a lot of traditional bottom sandhill leads all up here off of Nantuck. All that's not hard. That bottom we're talking about that's hard, that crabs get hurt in, it's as hard as this floor we're standing on. It's like a piece of concrete.
I'm about to tell you, airframe now.
Yeah, it's hard. So I just want to add that. I would really like to see, if we approve moving forward, that we meet with Ron and we take a look at some of this and see if he's willing to work with Rob and suggest any changes. If we were going to open the dredge fishery and anybody wanted to show Ron where the soft bottom is, I'd be willing to take it. I can show him. So I just want to add that. I've said it before because that's really not like it should be. I mean, it's a whole lot of bottom drawn in there or excluded there. That's traditional grinds that we didn't have wasting crabs when we fished there that you could carry on a responsible fishery. And I'm just worried about losing all the traditional bottom like that. So, you know, it's a big concern of mine. And there's a whole lot of area there. I think if we were going to open the fishery, maybe let's work at this. And if Ron and staff says no, we want to try it like this, fine. I agree with Kim. This is better than no fishery at all.
Can I
question?
Make one little probably if we ask Ron, this would probably be based on a full bore fishery. This is not a full bore fishery. It'd only be 900 bushels per boat. It would be a very limited fishery. So the impact is not going to be like it was when it was back in the 80s. When we did these surveys on cut crabs, and this is what everybody needs to know, and Rob will tell you, and Joe will tell you. We did 50 yards. We took four boats. And we made 10 licks apiece. That's 40 licks in the same exact spot. We tried to make impact. We didn't just say, well, long, you know, go any way you want to try to make impact. We did our very best. And after we did the study, we went back and did it 40 more times. That was 80 passes through 50 yards. 50 yards, 80 passes. So what I'm trying to get at is that was tried to imitate a fleet, not 20 boats. So I want everybody to keep that in mind because that's how the survey was done. We were trying to mimic a fleet.
Did they ever study it like there, like before, when you just make a pass through and look at like a few passes, or did they just always do it after y'all had done a lot?
Well, we made 40 passes, set up the site, you know, and then we made 40 more.
So they tested that the first.
And then we tested it again afterwards. I mean, you know, it was, we set the site up, I made 10 1-minute tows in the middle, or whoever, and then all four of us got in there and made 10 passes, so that's 40 passes. And then after the site was done, then we went in there and did 10 more. So what we got to realize is we were trying to create havoc.
Have divers in?
Divers in, divers out. Both. We did them divers in, divers out, everything. So what we really got to understand is when you go out and send 22 boats out, it's not going to have the same impact as you are 200. So the less footprint you're going to have on the bottom, the less impact, the better it is.
Yeah, because if y'all were drugging, y'all might not have been even made the same pass on that.
Am I correct on that, Rob?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, that's not how 20 boats are going to be working like that.
This 900 bushel thing has seemed to be brought up several times. Be like 900 bushel pieces. Well, for us old timers, many years ago, 75 bushel was the limit. We could catch 75 baskets years ago. And of course, I have caught 150, but 75 out ago, see, so I can catch 75 more, but that's in the past. But anyway, 75 bushel years ago, in 13 days, we'd be done. 12 and a half days, we'd be done with a 900 bushel.
That's what I mean.
So yeah, we need to discuss.
So actually, it may be better if you've got the 900 bushel limit to the boat.
I'm not saying open it all up. I'm just saying the impact you're going to have is what this survey was designed to create impact, not to create mortality.
Do the math on the 50 bushel a day. Maybe, what is that? 17, 18 days? 18 days, you're done. So if you opened up December 1st or December 15th, and some Decembers you have good weather, I'm sure some of us call a limit the whole damn month December 4th.
Well,
huh?
Oh, yeah.
Years ago when it was 75.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, if you got good weather, you're looking at 18, 19 days, and you're done.
If you make it 50, so if you make it 30, it's 30 days.
So you're not going to bottom for a long period of time.
Mr. O'Reilly.
I think the amount was in keeping with where crabs are in terms of abundance. So the next to last season, I think the crabfish fishery brought in about 2.1 or 2.3 million pounds. The last active season, it was 1.4 million pounds. So I think that is sort of the jumping off point. That's where that came from. Originally, the recommendation was 1.5 million.
Right.
And that would still, the way you're looking at it, be somewhere in the 20s for the number of days.
Yeah.
At 900.
So if everybody just say works 30, 35 days and you're done. So you're really not going to have fishery that's going to be over across the bottom for 3 months like they've done for years and years and years.
No, and if you don't have a bushel limit, you catch what you want, or whatever your buyer wants that day, you can do it.
Yeah.
So a lot less time. It's
possible,
less impact.
It's possible you've done 10, 12 days, you're done. To me, that's the most economical way to do it.
Depending on your market.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
The quicker you catch your 900, the less time the dredge is on the bottom, the less destruction you're doing.
You think you'd get as much money for them if you did it that way?
No. Let's listen to Jeremy. If really, we've lost our foothold and you're right. That does make the most sense to get them off quick because you burn less fuel and you're already out there and get it over with, move on to something else, make some money doing something else. But you want to maximize, I'm assuming, what you're going to get out of each bushel. And if you don't, the winter fishery, we lost our dredge fishery with our presence in New York and in Canada and a lot of Louisiana crabs and Delaware crabs and South Carolina crabs found their way into New York where most of the crabs were going. Some were going to Canada, but the majority of them were going to New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. If you dump a lot in there, everybody knows what they do. I mean, they love it. Delaware was up 17th. They have no limit.
We have no limit, and people can do whatever they want to, and they're just going to catch them up. You could have two or three boats.
I'm going to stop you. They have a limit. I had a boy come look at my boat.
Well, it might have just imposed it, but if you have just two or three boats, we didn't have a limit on the impact study or a limited limit. I mean, you could catch 75, 100 bushel to the boat. That could be detrimental to the market in the wintertime. People don't buy as much stuff in the winter.
I'm going to say this, Jeremy. Every man here can do math.
Sure.
If you have 900 bushels to catch and you only want 30, or they only want 50, or they only want to catch what they want,
it'd be all right. If you told a boat, said, only go catch me this, and he's there, what are you going to do when you get in? While I was there, I caught 75, and no, you only wanted 40 or 50.
If he wants to
caught 75 or 100.
If he wants to do $25, then let him do $25. But if I want to catch mine later on when everybody else is done, then let me catch mine.
I agree. Yeah, if it works that way.
It's going to be the same economic.
If it works that way, like rock tags, where everybody wants to catch them up, get nothing, and you wait and get more for yours.
So that's going to be beneficial to you?
Yeah, oh yeah, I agree. I thought you were talking about limiting it down to like about an 18-day season, and then just say Durham and catch them all.
No.
Let me just say what it can be.
Oh, yeah.
If that's what you want it to be.
Well, we all know that it could be nothing on the market.
Sure.
And we could... is a lot of coulds, or then again, it could be a different way, just like it is with any other part of the industry at any other time of the year. You know what I mean? I thought y'all were talking, but I thought I understood you say that, you know, just go ahead and clean up your limit,
but
do it in like a 15 or 18 day window, and be done with it.
You still have the same 3-month window.
However you want to catch them, you tell me to go catch all I can for $50, I'm going to stay there and catch all I can.
Because you have less impact.
Exactly.
All right, Mr. Powers, could you repeat your motion, if you can remember?
Well, the motion was that we accept this area and request that staff, VIMS, whomever, that staff not make this or work, well, let's rephrase it, work diligently to increase this area of
soft bottom.
Of allowed soft bottom, but we understand that that's the motion, and then the comment is we understand that this year this is probably the best we can do, but there is I look at it from a fairness standpoint. We've done the same thing in reverse that we did with the spring crab fishery, where everybody moves down to the bay. And we're really benefiting the people in the lower bay and the northern part of the bay take a hit. And I think we should, the same way we were thinking there for trying to do something for the northern bay, we should try to get something down here in the lower bay so the people coming out of Hampton and James River, Virginia Beach, don't have to run all the way up the bay to dredge. But that's for next year. Maybe we could get something this year, but I wouldn't count on it. And that is not part of the motion that's to try to do it this year.
Comments or questions?
So it's accept this one is the general motion.
I'm going to second that motion. And I'm seconding it because the science in place, and I think if we're going to shoot for anything to be able to dredge in December, that we have to go along the science and the data.
Any additional discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
I'm sorry.
Two
abstentions.
Two abstentions. All right. Mr. Cox.
Fellows on the Eastern Shore don't have a fit.
That's the same reason I'm saying.
I mean, see the peninsula. Look at the Eastern Shore. There's nothing. Everybody's got to leave home across Milford Bay, dredge on the Western Shore. There are years, people who dredge for a long time know that there's some years when the crab's on the eastern side that cut down, some years on the western side. Everybody that lives on the eastern side's got to go to I don't think that's fair. I mentioned a while ago about Virginia, but what Virginia on the Eastern Shore too. If you took that green line, your Western Shore, you took that green and moved it over to the Eastern Shore, you'd understand what I was saying.
I understand what you're saying. We're outside of the box. I think when you're looking at 216, 217, if that's when you come back and you readjust it.
I agree with you, but I can't agree with it now because folks at home are going to say, Marsh, what the hell's wrong with you? We all got to go to Western Shore and grab judge. You voted for that? No, I think. That's it. You know, like I say, if you move that over to the Eastern Shore, everybody from Western Shore would understand where I was coming from. You get a Norwester, we got to fight all the way across the bay, you know. Same way in Northeaster, we got it made over our way, so.
Well,
that's all. You know, this is a good thing. Well, I mean, this is a start to opening the season. Now, I agree with that 100%. This is a good thing.
Well, historically, when we went Grand Rapids, where did we go to in the beginning?
Historically? Well, over Western Shore. That ended.
And how far down? How far we worked down?
Down below that green.
All right, now I tied up the new point. How many miles is that?
That's a long ways.
There you go. Yeah, we did it every day.
Yeah.
So historically, watermen from the Eastern Shore would travel that distance anyway.
Exactly. What I'm getting at is...
We got to do it the whole season now, though.
If there's no crabs on the option...
Yeah.
So, I mean...
In the Northeaster, we could work, you know, we could work over home.
You can pick your days.
Northeaster, I had to beat my way over to y'all.
But you ain't got so many to catch, you can pick your days.
You ain't got so many days to catch, you can pick your days.
I agree with this. Don't get me wrong.
We need to move on.
I agree with this.
Well, actually, we haven't finished C yet. We've got to work on the season. Discussion on season. I know we had comments earlier.
What time is when is crab pot season?
December 1st, 15th. When is
November 30th?
Very good.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do,
Mr. Cox.
Since sitting here talking for an hour, you figure out what time we're going to start. I'll make a motion December 15th, March 31st. That's my motion. We can start there anyway.
Okay. I have a motion, and we have...
No, I'm not second. We had a discussion.
Discussion, Mr.
You did. Usually it's discussion after you give a second. Okay. Or it dies, and then you discuss.
That's what I thought you were second.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Did you second it?
No. All right.
I do, before we move forward. Mr. Farrington?
What was that a motion?
That was a motion.
What was it?
December 15th, March 31st.
It currently has failed because...
If they don't want to go into March anyway, hot and end at the end of November, then why not start the 1st December and stop in the middle of March when hot starts? Or the 1st of March and give it a 2-week break? They don't want to go into this March as it is. So you're one to always ask, Rob, what's staff going to do? What's staff going to recommend? Tonight.
You missed the beginning.
Jeremy, does that help to you or hurt you by having is it better for you as a buyer and for the industry if it's a continuous market without giving up?
Thank you.
No.
You lit the match.
That doesn't matter. It gives a little break, gives time for things to clear off, and people realize that they can't just bat an eye and get a crab anytime they want to.
So it might be better off if it's
The only hazy thing is Delaware comes in on the 15th, unless I'm wrong. Give me
the still, it used to be the 17th.
So you got holiday season.
15th, 17th. November 17th, I think Seaside Jersey starts. And then sometime in December. Now, they've changed that up too.
You're better off to lose March and lose 2 weeks in December. Tell them.
Mr. O'Reilly?
Just to remind everyone that Part A up there was at the time there was consideration, and it did happen to have an extension of the crab pot season, so that's where the December 16th is from. I don't know whether that will again be something that the commission looks at as we go forward. The February 28th was really from this committee, and it was part of the, I guess I'd call it, selling points at that time.
limited meant limited in all aspects, area, season, bushel amount, everything else. So that's how that came about in 2013.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table, December 15th through March 31st. Is there a second? Once again, is there a second?
Good.
Okay, motion fails for lack of a second.
Can I make a motion?
Mr. Sanford.
I've recommended staff recommendations for this.
Okay, so December 16th
through
February 28th.
I'll second that.
And we have a second. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Just a question for Mr. Rob. This was in 2013.
Right.
Do you have a staff recommendation for 2015?
Well, so Ty can hear me too. At the beginning of the meeting, I explained staff has already given their recommendation for 2015-16, and that was not to open the crabtree season. The basis for that was that the commission tied staff to the triggers, and those triggers were developed. And that is why, unlike 2013, staff doesn't have the same flexibility that we had before. But that's why it's important that this committee, which is an independent advisor to staff, we always like to get along and have the same ideas, but if you are an independent advisor, the strength of your recommendations are what the commission will listen to as well as
would all be so passive that December 15th, because of the extension of crab pot, not because of what was wanted to be done, first of December to the end of March.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
And any abstentions? We've got one.
Opposed. No abstentions.
Motion passes. All right, moving forward. Joe, did you have something?
I'm waiting for you to call the next
one. Moving forward to new business.
Okay, so we're done with everything else that's on your agenda. You're just going to new business.
Going to new business, correct.
Okay.
Joe's ready.
Any new business? Mr. Dink? Yeah, Mr. Jenkins.
I'm probably going to stare at some of y'all, but that's all right. I've been here for 3 or 4 months, and you stare at me and some of that. And mainly that the last meeting was much about it, making some comments about the pillow pot and the soft bed. So I've been sitting back and being very patient. I put a few notes here. And with this crab panel, which we've heard so much about today now, is not a true representation of the indigenous species. It does not include the pillow or the soft crab in it. As a matter of fact, they're doing everything they can to put that fish out of business. And they only harvest about 4-5% of the crab population. So, and the reason they're doing it is so they can have more crab for themselves. The peeling and soft crab fishery started long before the crab pot fishery ever existed. Crab pots were invented in the 1940s. And the first ones to sit in our area, you have to pay a royalty to the inventor, which was a gentleman of Northumberland County who was with. The soft crab industry has less weight and more food value and revenue per crab than the hard crab industry by far. If you took all the peelers that is harvested now by the peeler potter and destroyed every one, it wouldn't come close to the crab that is being wasted each year by the harvest of sponge crab in an old bag. It's just simple math. Multiply the millions of eggs by the bushel of sponge crab harvested We don't even save some graves in that area. They was always trying to just mess them back. There should be a law passed to ban the harvest of all spring graves, orange, brown, or dark. And I'm going to do all I can to get this started. The Pacific Bay Agriculture and Bay Committee, the members of that, half of them don't even know that we call it Bay Banning Graves. Also, there should be a grave plot limit equal to the field plot limit now. Plot tagging needs to be put in place as soon as possible. Crabs are a natural resource for all Virginia citizens, not just a resource for a few years in the lower back. Now, you can disagree with me on that, but what I told you is a fact. Crabs were brought back in trot line in the 40s. I just sort of can't help them do it. But with all the genetic crabs in the eastern shore, Tangier and Smith Isles, they had the crab budget for the fields and the salt crabs. So this is a resource that needs to be kept active and alive, and by one group want to claim that they'll hurt the crab population is false.
Mr. Smith, I'm sorry.
I'm not here to start an argument, I don't want to start a fight, but pilopotter. Pilopotters were invited to participate in the crab panel. Some showed up at first. They've gotten that up. A bunch of Tangier was asked to do it, and they would make phone calls. The line opened up, and they stopped. I went out, and I have recruited Lee Walton to be part of that panel. So if you've got concerns now, if the people of Otters have concerns now, you take them up with Lee Walton, and he'll bring them to the panel. But the people of Otters we have tried over and over for people of Otters to be represented in the industry panel.
Well, the reason is they're not there because every time they go there, they get...
How do you know, Doug? I told you I didn't want to start an argument, but you don't know. You've never been to one.
Yeah, but I talked to one that has been there.
Doug, we appreciate your comments.
Yeah, okay,
and
thank you for the opportunity to
But it's hard, but I want you to know that I've been trying to get to people of Otters there. And I think Lee Walton is a good enough to be there. He's an articulate boy. He'll make good arguments for him.
Thank you both. Any other new business?
I'll bring it up.
Mr. Sanford.
Yeah, sanctuaries.
Is there anything we could possibly do to help the Lower Bay people in the ocean front? We are jammed in Lynn Haven, pots on top of pots, and it's, you know, we're getting stuff running day in and day out.
I think now
well,
that we've got
and I'm just looking for equality, you know,
yeah,
but
I think now that we've gotten that the panel's gotten as far as it has with crab drinking, that this is the next issue that we've got to take on.
So the issue came before the commission, and the commission did not endorse it. That doesn't mean it can't come to the commission again. Part of what the commissioner wants us to do collectively is to still, and I want it too, to still talk about the sanctuary issues. If you don't know, what has occurred is that the upper area, the northern area, a sliver, a slice of that northern area is now going to open June 1 next year. And the lower area, the historical sanctuary, 1942 sanctuary, and out along the coastline, that will open May the 8th. It'll close. And I said open on the first one, pardon me. Close to harvesting on May 8th. That's what I indicated earlier, that there was a balancing act. Rom did the analysis. And in between those two areas, the 1942 sanctuary and the part of the northern area segment, that will close the harvesting the way it does now, May 16th. However, it was part of the commission process that those issues will be heard again. So it's not a closed issue. I didn't think with everything that was going on that enough information really digested on the problems with Lynn Haven moving out. But there was enough provided there. Rachel provided the
the information to the commission. There was information on effort conflict, and I know that you in particular indicate that most of the crabbing will occur above the recreational effort. That was also something that was considered. So, you know, the sanctuary issues have been 2008 on are the major changes, and this is the second time the commission has made an adjustment. The first time was when they moved it to May 16th. So it's a live topic.
Mr. Cox.
No.
It wasn't established to protect crabs.
No.
It was to protect us from germs.
I did a lot of research on that.
So, that's an approach maybe.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Cox.
At the next meeting, I want to discuss the tagging system more.
We've had several requests.
That's it. But let's see if we can't come up with a plan with this tagging system. It seems like everybody's interested in tagging system. We've talked about it for years.
I mentioned it
8 or 10 years ago and got my vote tore up, so let me come to what we're doing.
Let's just answer it, and then I'll be back to you, Mr. Porter.
Yeah. On the last commission agenda, there were, how many things were for crabbing?
Seven or eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My question is this: how can the commissioners actually digest all the information that's in front of them, make intelligent decisions when there are seven items on there? Is there any way possible that maybe when crab issues come before them, that they'll maybe look at one time and be able to digest that information?
Well, in fairness to the commission, what it did, which was, you know, at the time I thought, I can't believe we're doing it this way, they didn't do the package. They said, let's take them individually. And we went through every item individually. So the combination of them doing that and what they had on the spot from staff, I think is as good as any other time I remember getting crab information. If you recall, I was getting questions quite a bit.
I talked to one of the commissioners a day after. He said he couldn't even understand that. He said he was flabbergasted by how it was all piled on top of him. You know, like really
the
decision.
Push that thing into a package vote. That was wrong.
Yeah.
I'd
just like to see, you know, items come before the commission.
One,
you know,
Jimmy Dean and
1, 2, 9, 7 is where I'm coming from.
So long as they're not interconnected.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if you get, I mean,
if they're doing a deal where they're trading off closing this part of the sanctuary to allow this over here, you have to hear all that.
Correct. Well, but I mean, you know, you're talking, you know, sanctuary, you're talking crab dress, you're talking, I mean, it was, to me, it seemed, I mean, I sat there and listened to it, and I've seen a lot of this before. I was like, wow.
Well, when you're sitting up there, you see how long we're sitting there talking on these 2-3 issues. And you've already sat there for 4 hours before that, and then you got 7 crab management issues coming through at one time.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah. What I mean is, it's
50 bucks.
You know, I think it should be a lot less and more frequent. I know when you bring crab things up more at one time, but I mean, this is a contentious issue, and I really think instead of having 7 items, you only need 2.
Yeah.
Because you can go on an hour discussion just on 2 items.
And if you really want to get the commission informed, it would be good if members of this committee went up to them during the open session when there's not a crab item on the agenda and say, last week we talked about this, and this was a general consensus and the feeling, this is my opinion, but you might want to, you know.
We make the crab and lunch rolls every week. It's going to be hard to just put one on
one agenda. Mr. Porter. Right.
The only thing I've got to say about tags, I am a feeler buyer. I had a 300 feeler pot license. I've got a 300 hard crab pot license. They cut the hard crab to 255. They cut the feeler license to 210. I don't see where that was fair. Last year, we lost 8 weeks of crabbing because of what this committee voted to take from us.
This,
I understand where you're coming from when you're cutting, but the crab dredging, you've lost all that. I understand. We lost it last year. We're up there. We've got Mariners on one side. They're crabbing. They crabbed until the middle of October. Now, you don't do that every year. They did it last year. They made money. And here's another thing. Our peeler pots, the war, are not made out of much. We had to take them up September 15th. I could have got four more weeks on them pipes. You know what I did with them pipes this spring? Throw them away.
Yeah. Not argued with you, Betty.
I ain't either. I mean, we all got to live. We all got to make money. Yeah. We all got to get together.
I'm not going to argue with you on that. But when I see people sitting 6, 7, 8, 900, 3 rigs, and I'm sitting on the sidelines, sitting there waiting at, and after we've been put under the microscope, done the drudge survey, and still publicly humiliated,
I'm tired of it. I didn't say peel apart. I did it. I'm just saying it's effort.
I understand.
I said, closed crab dredging, if they can do that to the crab dredger, they can do that to you.
They've got pot tags on the next meeting agenda.
It looks like to me they're taking from everybody. Eventually, you just won't have nothing.
Yeah, our whole problem is we don't get along. We fight each other.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, what if you're like me, if you participate in all three? Then what happens?
Well, I'm doing it too. Yeah, I'm doing it too. It's horrible. Yeah. I had a guy on the commission. I think you know him. The one that went in the plane where they lost one engine. I can't think of his name.
Yeah,
we went to a peeler pot meeting over here. He was dead against peeler potters. I mean, to a commission meeting. He was dead against it. When we got done at the end of the meeting, he come to Auburn Justice and I give us his number. He said, call me. Because I asked him. I said, what do you got against peeler potters? Against people by. We called him Sunday to his farm on the Eastern Shore. Do you know what he told us? We're both on the phone at the same time. You get me five peeler potters. No, he said, you get me nine peeler potters Monday morning. We can have a meeting with the governor and we'll get sponge crabs cut out. And then before I could say a word, he said, no, you get me five. And I looked at him, I said, I don't want to kill the hard grabber. I said, they got to make money, too. So I seen what he was after. He wanted to kill the peeler potter, which they did, because they passed the law on the 200. But then he wanted us to come back and kill the hard crab. We didn't do it.
Bottom line is you can't sell it one crab at one time. Whether it's a peeler, a busted sook, a clean sook, a number two Jimmy, a number one, you can't sell them at one time.
There's no future new business.
Yeah, I make a motion to adjourn.
Meeting adjourned.
Second.
Nice talking to you.
Yep.